Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont at large, the only congressman in office since 2007. Let's talk about something that I know you were very involved in, and that's the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal. You were a strong opponent of it. It looked like it was going down, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe it was too big to fail. What happened?
Well, that was the fast-track negotiating authority that precedes the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would be the treaty. And I think what happened is you had enormous support on the Republican side, and I think 28 Democrats who wanted to give the president that authority to do the negotiation. So that's what happened, and I think ultimately that was probably not a lot of votes changed. The big question in the fast-track authority, really, is about national sovereignty. I think that's what came out to be the biggest question. Past treaty agreements have largely been about tariff barriers, and tariff barriers being lowered would make the products more competitive across country lines. What's happened now is these trade agreements are much more about things like intellectual property rights. Like one of the things that I was quite concerned about in Fast Track is whether the big pharma companies are going to be able to say that if a state like Vermont has a prescription drug price negotiation program, that's somehow in violation of their economic property rights. And that's a real threat. I'll give an example. Philip Morris is suing the government of Uruguay for lost profits because Uruguay passed a very strict and very harsh warning requirement. You had to put like a skull and crossbones on cigarettes. And lo and behold, Uruguay, which had an incredibly high smoking rate, that rate went way down. So, in fact, Philip Morris lost profits. Should Philip Morris be able to sue for that? I don't think so. I think a government, whether it's Uruguay or Vermont or the United States, has a reasonable right to pass what they regard as health and safety legislation that is in the interest of the citizens that that government represents. So that's really a big issue for me in the fast-track authority. I want to make certain that our national and state governments have legitimate rights to pass laws that they deem appropriate for health, for safety, for environment.
Let's go across the waters and go to the Middle East where you just were. What'd you learn?
Well, good news, bad news. We were in Iraq, we were in Kurdistan, in Erbil, and we were down in Baghdad. And then we spent 2 days in Turkey, in Gaziantep, which is on the Syrian border, where a lot of the refugees are, and then in Ankara, where we were meeting with government officials. The good news, of course, is that in Erbil, where the Kurds have a functioning government and a functioning army, and a reliable ally in the United States, they're not only holding their own against ISIS, but they've pushed them back. And what it indicates is what I think is obvious, but somehow we tend to forget around here, that you have to have a political foundation, some stability in the government, some commitment in the government to its own self-preservation in order to have a reliable ally who we can help. And that has worked. We've helped the Kurds. We provided some air support when the Yazidis were on Mount Sinjar and were in danger of ISIS overrun and slaughter. But we worked with a reliable Kurdish Peshmerga. You go down to Baghdad, and it gets much murkier because the Shia government is not including the Sunni, so there's a Sunni-Shia divide. The Sunni, in response, accommodate ISIS, make them either welcome or complicit. And then the Shia government in Baghdad continues to suffer from just enormous corruption and infighting. So I'm quite skeptical about the prospects of getting a relationship that's functional with Baghdad that we have with Erbil. In Turkey, I got to tell you, I'm impressed with the Turks. There's a lot of challenges over there. The recent election has caused some upheaval. But think about the fact that they have 1.9 million refugees from Syria. And you compare that to what upheaval there was in our own country when we had 50,000 children. Showing up unaccompanied at our border, but the Turks have really created space for these Syrian refugees, welcomed them, and tried to integrate them as much as they reasonably can. And we've got to help in that because there's got to be a safety valve for the human suffering that exhibits itself with this flow of refugees out of Syria into the neighboring countries. So part of our policy, in order to maintain stability as much as possible in that chaotic region, has to be to support these governments that are dealing with the humanitarian crisis that's a result of the violence.
Wow. I want to take something a little closer to home now, and that is the Highway Trust Fund and the parliamentary move, quote, Queen of the Hill. What's Queen of the Hill?
Well, first of all, let me say what's important here. It is a disgrace that Congress has failed to pass a fully funded long-term highway transportation bill when that's the best jobs bill that we can pass. Republicans have potholes in their districts. Democrats have potholes in our districts. We all have bridges that are falling apart. John Boehner has bridges that are falling apart. And America needs a modern-day infrastructure in order to succeed. And instead of passing a long-term bill, because there's too much fear around here about taking responsibility and how to pay for it, we're doing these short-term deals like pension smoothing and making funny money up. What I proposed as a way of having Congress take responsibility is this Queen of the Hill that you mentioned. And what that is that we would put on the floor for a vote everybody's idea of how to pay for the trust fund. And it could be everything from the president's proposal about corporate tax reform to John Delaney and Jim Renacci, a Republican, their proposal about corporate repatriation to the gas tax. And that would mean that every single one of us would have to vote yes or no on all of those revenue sources. And it means that we would end up with one that where Congress would finally do its job. You know, you're entitled to know, and Vermonters are entitled to know, Peter, will you pay for fixing our highways and bridges? They're entitled to know that. And if we had this Queen of the Hill approach where all those revenue proposals were up for a yes or no vote, I'd be held accountable that I was voting to kill highway funding or I was voting to support it. And that's absolutely essential to creating the jobs this country needs and modernizing our infrastructure system. In my view, Congress's failure to do this has been a disgrace, and it's a legitimate indictment of the irresponsible actions of Congress not doing its job.
So why in the world would John Boehner, who doesn't allow other things to come up for a vote, accept this idea that the American people would be exposed to transparency for how we're going to pay for things? He's not going to do it.
He may not, and he's got the call. I mean, that's the way the House works. The Speaker decides what gets on the floor, if anything. But one of the things I have noticed and appreciated about Speaker Boehner is he frequently says, let the House work its will. And this is exactly what I'm proposing here with this Queen of the Hill. You know, he's got a tough job. When it comes to a revenue source, it's always hard, whether it's Democrats or Republicans. You know, legislators don't like to vote on it. On the other hand, it is our job to do. So if he wants to allow us to do our job, put all these proposals on the floor, and then we take the heat for the yes or the no vote. It's the House working its will. It's getting our job done. You know, I think the only thing I really oppose is another short-term fix where it's not a fix. It's just digging a deeper hole. I mean, you can't, you know, we did
a deeper pothole, if I can just.
Exactly.
Say, yeah.
You know, we did a two-month extension. Can you plan the Agency of Transportation in New York or Vermont a bridge construction project with 2 months of funding? You know, what happens is that our dilatory approach means that the cost of doing the work goes up, not down. It's just absolutely inexcusable, and that's why I've been voting no, no, no when it comes to the short-term dead end, don't get the job done fixes.
And that's why we love having you, Peter Welch, on this show. Peter Welch is a Democrat of Vermont at large, the only congressman from Vermont in office since 2007. Peter, thanks for putting up with us and showing up all the time. We love having you.
Thank you.